Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the attic that smells like a basement in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys high-fiving with words, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And Happy New Year, everyone. We've made it 2021.
2021.
In the year 2021. So, yeah, Happy New Year, everyone. At the beginning of the year, there's so much open, so many opportunities, resolutions, all this fun stuff. We hope everyone had a good holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
We know everything's been crazy for everybody, including us. But hey, we're here. We made it 2021, and we are here with some fresh nerd alerts for you, because there's all kinds of stuff coming up new. There's all kinds of stuff that dropped at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
And there's all kinds of fun stuff, and everyone got like presents and stuff, so there's all kinds of new things to talk about.
Did you get anything cool for Christmas?
I mostly got like clothes and pajamas. I got some nice pajamas.
Okay. Hey,
some nice warm pajamas.
Bert Kreischer would be proud of you.
I'm not showering in the pool, though. But I got some nice warm jammies. But there were tons of, in the nerd world, there were tons of deals on the old Xbox console.
Oh, there you go.
We got the Xbox Game Pass is like $1 for 3 months.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
and that's where you can download the old catalog and go through old, like, 360 games that they put back onto the new Xbox One infrastructure.
Yeah, there's like 100-some games on there. So we got that and downloaded a few games. And we downloaded, let's see, we tried. It's fun because you can try stuff. And then if it's not any good, you're just like,
on to the next
no
one.
Harm, no foul, delete and yeah. What we're putting on next. So we tried that Ark game. I don't know if you've seen that. It's like a survival game with dinosaurs and stuff.
Like ARK Ark?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't like it.
But because you're on the Game Pass, no harm, no foul, like you're saying.
Yeah, right, right. So it was sold as realistic Minecraft with dinosaurs, and it was more like there was so much survival management that it was not. It was literally like, you're cold, you're hungry, you're tired, you're cold, and like too often, just too often. It was like, in real life, I'm never that cold, hungry, and tired that often. This is ridiculous. It was just crazy. It seems like if you're super nerdy, like I'm talking about like engineer type nerds.
Mm-hmm.
They probably love Ark, I bet. I'm willing to bet.
It probably fits the same niche that the Kerbal Space Program game. Have you ever played that? Where it's like,
no.
Oh, it's like aliens trying to get to the moon and you build rockets. But it seems like a game built for engineers. But did you even get to see dinosaurs when you were in Ark, or were you just cold and hungry the whole time?
No, they're around. They're just walking around. Yeah, they kill you quite often. it was too much. But anyway, that was fun. But on the bright side is that you had told me that I should try BioShock out. And while that's not on Game Pass, they had it on sale, all three of them.
Oh, nice.
For,
yeah.
For $10.
Oh, that's a steal. Absolutely.
So I got that. So BioShock for me for Christmas, and I started it. And you were right. It's very Fallout like.
Yeah,
it's just the same kind of thing, I guess you'd call it.
And it's two different companies. BioShock is BioWare, I believe, and then Fallout is Bethesda. But it seems like they were the same sort of designers and coders that were coming up with all the same references. So they're making sort of the same kind of deep kind of games. Yeah.
So, but so far so good. I haven't gotten very far into it, but I can tell that I'm going to enjoy it. And now the problem is going to be carving out the time.
Oh, yeah. And also listening to Scooter Shabazz bug you about it, because I think that's Scooter Shabazz's favorite game.
Oh, wow. So. Okay. Well, there we go. So did you get anything cool? Do anything cool?
I got clothes as well. It was a socks and underwear kind of Christmas. Everybody just sort of, you know, we're staying safe, we're staying distant and sending presents through the mail, but keeping in touch with everybody, so it's all good. I got some guitar toys for Christmas that are real fun, but I don't know if we have the nerdiness to go deep on guitar stuff on our podcast.
Oh yeah, we're not really. Even though we do have an Assuming Positions band that has played at a convention before, and we'll continue in the future. What the thing is once conventions start up again, we've been practicing so much that I think we're actually going to have a decent set. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, so I guess that's our first nerd alert is, hey, Assuming Positions has a backyard band.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We've been practicing a lot over the quarantine.
Yep.
And been having a lot of fun doing so. So we'll see what happens when stuff starts opening back up, hopefully mid-year or whenever. I'm not sure what's going to progress with this, but hopefully we'll get all past this and conventions will start up again and people will come out and, yeah, we'll make these... conventions we go to give us some time to goof around like we did at Fandom Legacy.
Oh, Fandom Legacy was such a great time. I'm already ready for conventions and stuff to come back. I'm already ready to start gathering with people. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I look forward to it coming back.
So this episode, as we said, is our January Nerd Alerts. And we're head over to the news desk where Mikey has compiled nerd alerts over this past month. And he will tell us the interesting things that he has found that I will react to and hopefully you will enjoy.
Yes, because Mikey spends so much time on the internet and trying to kill that free time by looking at all the different headlines in nerd news. But the first one on our docket, we're going to start with television. One of our favorites, something we've talked about on the podcast before, but The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Season 4 is now out.
Yes, on Netflix.
On Netflix, 2021, we have a new season. I have not watched any of it yet. I'm going to try and parcel it out for myself so I don't binge it all in one day. That may be hard, but what you can do is go watch. There is a really fun teaser trailer that they released that featured the old aunts from the 90s version of Sabrina, the Melissa Joan Hart version of Sabrina. The two aunts from show showed up in a teaser trailer for the new Sabrina. That's crazy.
Beth Broderick and Caroline Ray.
Yes.
Caroline Ray, who I actually saw do stand up in the Addison Improv here in Texas.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So anyway, she's just an actress, stand-up comedian. I don't know what she's more famous for, but she's a great stand-up comedian.
I think she's just famous for being a sweetheart. Like, even in that show, even in her stand-up, she has that sort of lovable personality. And it was so neat to see her, because we grew up with the 90s Sabrina, it was cool to see them referenced. Like, are they ever going to cross over? And they officially did the crossover over Christmas break.
For sure, too. And that's one thing we talked about when we talked about Sabrina, is how, even though The Chilling Adventures is so different from that one, there's still some of the bones are there, and the aunts still kind of have the same personalities in a lot of ways between the two shows.
Yep.
Even though one's like a straight sitcom and this is more of a teen drama, sci-fi horror show.
All those elements, yeah, they all apply. Yeah. But you're right, the roles are still there. They have the stern aunt and the sort of like lovable, goofy aunt, but
yeah,
it was cool to see them back. So the new season is out. That's the main big news. We haven't watched it yet. I'm pretty sure we'll discuss it because we've discussed a whole bunch of the past seasons of Sabrina. So as fans of that show, we're just happy that there's more of it.
Well, yeah, of course. And one of our little totems for the podcast is our Sabrina pop.
It is.
That we have in the studio because we just enjoy the show so much. It just, for me, it tickles the kind of like, it's got that kind of 90s nerdy show type thing mixed with the Stranger Things, like darker, more modern things mixed with like the old. It's kind of like a Xena or a Hercules, the Legendary Journeys turned up to 11 modern day stuff. They're, you know, it's those kind of great. To me, it fits in that niche. I know it's very different. I'm not trying to say directly like one of those shows, but it gives me the same kind of feels inside as does all those shows that were on, like on the CW. It's like one of those shows. It has that kind of pedigree, you know.
but you
remember those like those CW shows, and because you had like the Xenas, the Hercules, like Stargate, shows like that. You know, the kind of, I don't know if you want to call them second tier to like a Star Trek or something, but come on, as like nerds, those were the ones like you kind of would suss out people with that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
No, I'm with you. And I'm with you on that it seems like second tier or B tier, but really they're just operating on a TV budget rather than a movie budget. But if you get past the TV budget and you invest in it and spend your time with it, it's usually a good story. So yeah, I'm with you.
That's how, I mean, I remember that's how you could kind of like find out like how nerdy is this person? It's like how you find out how nerdy someone is through gaming.
Yep.
If you're like, have you ever played Risk? You know, and then you start to slowly go down that road. And I was like, you ever heard of a show called Xena?
Yeah.
You know?
Have you ever played Settlers of Catan or maybe watched Angel as well as all of Buffy? Yeah.
You put those feelers out there to see if like, can I be friends with this person?
How deep does this nerdiness well go? Yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
But speaking of a nerdy well, we're going to dip into a little bit of our usual wheelhouse. We're going to talk about Star Wars. We talked about this a little bit on our Mando wrap-up. If you haven't heard that, go back and check it out. But we did a whole episode on Disney Plus's Investor Day where they announced like 12 Star Wars projects and 9 Marvel projects. But there was one more surprise after that, and that was the Book of Boba Fett that they didn't announce until the release of the after credit scene at the Mandalorian season finale. And it's more Star Wars. The new tidbit on this Nerd Alerts is that we know that it's been confirmed that Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are signed on to be part of Book of Boba Fett. So for everybody that likes the Mandalorian, it's the same crew doing Book of Boba Fett. The one new detail that I figured out thanks to the internet is that there's a third person involved, and that's Robert Rodriguez. Apparently, yes. Robert Rodriguez is going to be there for the whole Book of Boba Fett show, like the whole series.
That is so exciting because he's the one who directed that Boba Fett and Fennec Heavy episode.
Exactly.
The tragedy one. And yeah, oh man, that's super exciting. And it's funny to me because I don't know. So we've mentioned this on the show before, but I mean, if you want to get really nerdy and really nitty gritty into what's going on in Star Wars and with Jon Favreau, there's a secret place you can go. And that secret place is his Netflix show, Chef, the Chef Show, not Chef, the movie he did, but he has that show called The Chef Show.
Yes.
And it's basically a cooking show with him. So he made this movie called Chef, and he wanted to make all the stuff look, he wanted to look like a legitimate chef. So he hired an actual chef to teach him how to look like a chef and ended up becoming friends with this guy and ended up really actually becoming a proficient cook. So he decided, like, I don't want this to end. This guy's my buddy now. Let's do a show together called The Chef Show. So he goes around with this guy. It's basically it's like a cooking show. But they go places and stuff. And he has celebrity friends on. And some of these celebrity friends he has on are guys like Robert Rodriguez and Dave Filoni.
Yes.
And when they talk to them, in retrospect, these were filmed a long time ago, but these projects have been in, these irons have been in the fire for a while now.
Yeah.
So you can watch these shows and you can actually tell that something's happening. There's one, we just watched one, and it's Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, and they're at Skywalker Ranch.
Okay.
And they're cooking stuff, and they're talking about like this new project they're working on, and they're being all quiet about it, but they're totally talking about The Mandalorian.
Okay.
And it's like it's happening before anyone even knew about The Mandalorian, I think. So it's kind of cool if you really want to get inside baseball, as they say. Watch that The Chef Show and you'll get these little tidbits. It's just amazing.
But it also shows they're nerds that have been planning this out for like the last 18 months, 2 years or whatever, because that episode is a little bit dated if it's before The Mandalorian.
It is. He's talking about Lion King, like wrapping up Lion King.
Oh, okay. What's funny is one of our friends in our group text sort of brought this up, and there was a concern on the internet that like they weren't sure if Mandalorian season 3 was going to switch helms and go from one Mandalorian to the next and switch to Boba Fett as the focus, you know? But it is cool to see that they're giving Boba Fett his own world, because in that last final scene we saw him sit on the throne of the of Hutt's palace, you know? So what happens now? Like, what do you have any speculations? Are we going, it's called the Book of Boba Fett, so are we going to back to chapters in his old life, or are we doing chapters in his new life? What do you think?
I don't know. They can do so much because, I mean, it's the beauty of him being in a costume like that. You don't have to worry about making Polar Express Timu Morrison.
Ha ha ha.
They don't have to worry about that really poor youngifying technology they've been using. You can just put them in the helmet and say it's back in the thing. So they could definitely do flashback stuff, but I don't know what they're going to do. It's just interesting. It's exciting to know that Filoni and Favreau are there. They're fully dedicated to it, because this is actually, it is kind of season three of The Mandalorian, because they're doing this first.
Yep.
And then they're doing season three.
Exactly.
Next. So it is kind of season three of The Mandalorian in a lot of ways, but there is going to be still a season three. I think that was the confusion, as people thought Mandalorian was done, because it did kind of end. His mission was over, but I mean, there's all those loose, he's got the Darksaber. There's plenty of threads to tie up.
Exactly. Yep.
With that. But I really think this decision's interesting, and it just shows they're doing stuff so different. It seems like in olden times, they would have just shoved it off to be like, okay, we want to do this here. You do it.
Yeah, I got you.
But now they're actually like, you know what? We want to put our full attention to this. So let's go ahead and push Mandalorian season three for a little bit and put this out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do Mandalorian season three. So they're still really holding ownership of it, which I really, really like, because a lot of the problems that happened, I think, with the sequels that people have is it just seemed like, this is your thing. Now it's your thing. Oh, wait, it's your thing again. So it kind of got disjointed, you know?
Yeah, passing it off a whole bunch of times. I got you.
Yeah. So,
but with Mandalorian season three and with this Boba Fett show, it's the same crew. I hope they continue to do the thing, because we know Dave Filoni is like uber nerd, and he knows all of Star Wars Legends that's now no longer canon, but there's been so many books about Boba Fett and stuff that they have so much material to draw from. So I'm excited to see where they actually take it. It'll be curious.
Yeah, I don't have much speculation. There's so much stuff they could do with it. It's just, it's going to be fun. I know it's going to be good.
And apparently that's coming later in the year, probably fall 2021. Also, Obi-Wan, the series we talked about on Investors Day when they had all those news drops. But Obi-Wan starts filming in January, so it's two shows we might get this year. But on to the next TV tidbit. We have another reboot in the works. And maybe I'm the only one excited about this. I don't know. But they're bringing back Night Court. Have you heard about this?
What? No, what?
There's a Night Court reboot. I'm going to sing the theme song right now. One of the best theme songs in old TV, like, of all time. I guess you could argue Cheers. I guess you could argue maybe Brady Bunch. I don't know.
No, Night Court.
Night Court goes hard. It has that sax solo, but it's coming back. John Larroquette is one of the executive producers of it, and he's going to come back to reprise his role. But instead of Harry Stone, we love Harry Anderson, the magician, the judge from the original. But unfortunately, he did pass away in 2018. So RIP to you. The new show takes place with his daughter, who's a super optimistic judge, according to all the TV reports about this. And Abby Stone is taking over the role of Harry Stone as the new judge of Night Court.
Wow, man, I used to watch and enjoy it. And it's funny too, because I don't know if it's because it was called Night Court, but they would show it like late at night in reruns on like the substations. I want to call them UHF channels. And I know to your generation and younger, they're like, what's a UHF channel?
But yep.
I don't know what to call them, because that's what they were. They're like the more local stations that aren't NBC, ABC, CBS. There are those other ones that are there that show the reruns of the Brady Bunch and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember Night Court would be on at like 11 o'clock at night, midnight, stuff. I don't know if it was because they're like, hey, this show is called Night Court. Put it on at night.
It did seem to always show up at the end of like the primetime block. Like if it was from 8 to 10, it was like the 9:30 slot. I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, I watched that show a lot. I enjoyed that show. It was very, very funny. That's almost kind of one of those things that you say like, hey, yeah, with a reboot it's almost like a why not? Because yeah. It's not something that you're going to really mess up. I mean, it's just a funny show about a court and at night, night court. But I mean, the courts continue. We're still having court. They're having court back in the 80s, and they're still having court now. So
there's still cases,
like,
yeah.
It's not like it's much of a stretch. It'll be interesting to see. It's interesting. And it's interesting that John Larroquette is involved in it.
Yeah, too. He's coming back. I hope he plays the same hard-ass lawyer that he played in the original, because he was one of the best.
I really like John Larroquette a lot. And anything I ever see him in, I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to Black Sheep Squadron.
That's a nice pull. I don't think I know that one, but that sounds like a deep pull.
Black Sheep Squadron is it's set in World War II with Pappy Boyington and their Corsairs fighting the Japanese.
Nice.
And flying airplanes around. And it might be one of John Larroquette's first things. I think the show is from the 70s, maybe. I don't know when it's from. Dude, I used to watch so much TV.
Yes.
So late at night. That's where I'd see Night Court, and that's where I would see Black Sheep Squadron, because my favorite channels were the non-mainstream channels that showed all this crazy stuff like Gilligan's Island and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're done with the Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch and stuff, they started going to the more quote-unquote adult shows, which isn't what I mean, you know, but they went to the more serious shows, so they'd start putting up stuff like Black Sheep Squadron and McHale's Navy.
Oh, McHale's Navy. Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, so they'd have a block. They'd do like, here's McHale's Navy and Hogan's Heroes and Black Sheep Squadron. Here's all our World War II-related dramedies.
Well, hopefully when they bring back Night Court, they make it available like after 10 p.m. on whatever streaming service they do. I think it might be Netflix, but it's still in production, so I don't think it's found a company just yet. But the good news is the writer and producer behind it is Dan Rubin, who did The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, a great show. And this is just a weird tidbit, but the executive producer for it is Melissa Rauch, who played Bernadette on The Big Bang Theory. So, like, we have nerds at the helm. It's crazy.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that was an NBC show. I wonder if they're making it for Peacock, which is the worst name for a streaming service ever.
Unless you're an NBC diehard, yeah. It's like, what does Peacock mean? It means that logo. Okay.
It's a silly, silly name.
Speaking of streaming services and competition, here's one more weird little tidbit. Witcher Season 2 is coming this year, hopefully. Production has continued. All headlines and news articles report that despite setbacks and COVID and quarantine and all that stuff, Witcher is continuing. So we will get Witcher Season 2 this year. But they're also putting out more Bethesda products because Witcher did so well. And there's two things in production that I'm curious to see your reaction about. One is Elder Scrolls, a TV series being produced by Netflix. And the second is a Fallout TV series being produced by Amazon.
What?
They're doing both of them. Elder Scrolls and Fallout. Like.
Oh, no. Or okay. I don't know, man. Because, look, we said before that these video game shows and movies are always not good.
Yes.
And The Witcher being good, remember we were kind of like, well, technically it's based off a book and not a video game.
Yes.
So when stuff's straight, and the problem, I think we agree that we've distilled the fact that it doesn't work is because in a video game, you are the protagonist and it's you doing things and it's like your story.
Mm-hmm.
And then just sitting back and watching it just doesn't work. And the thing helping The Witcher out is The Witcher is based on a book.
Yeah.
So you're not playing you. You're playing the character in the book.
I got you.
So that video game technically is a little different than a lot of video games. Because in Fallout and in Elder Scrolls, you're you, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a regular role-playing game. Just kind of an avatar of you in a lot of ways. Because we've done high-level gaming before. I call it high-level tabletop gaming where you've been role-playing for so long. Here's where we get really nerdy. Here's where I'm putting my nerd car out.
It's nerd alert. Let's go.
When you've been role-playing for so long, you actually start to want to play characters that are so different from you.
Yes.
As a challenge.
Because
anytime anyone starts as a kid, you know, half the time, I know my first character's name was my name backwards. It was Nivek. Everybody does that. Everybody does that when they first start. They just mix up their name, and their character is so much exactly them, but in armor or with a wizard hat.
Or
you know?
With muscles or a cool weapon. Yeah,
I'm with you. Exactly. And it stays that way for a lot of people a lot of times, and pretty much every video game that has role-playing games is made with that in mind.
Like, I got you.
Hey, this is just you, but in Fallout land. Hey, this is just you, but in Elder Scrolls land. But I think that's why the stuff doesn't work. So I don't know what they're going to do because Yeah, I think Witcher works because there's this character,
yeah,
Geralt, who was in the book, and now you're playing him in the game, and you're not you, you're him. So it's just, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, anything is possible. I just I have not seen them do a video game show right. I mean, can you think of anything?
The Witcher is the newest example, and they did it well, but I don't know, but I do know, like, the two things in favor for both of them is Elder Scrolls has been a video game series and a book series for years and years. Like, it's Elder Scrolls Oblivion, it's Skyrim, it's all the games you've played, it's Eberron. For Fallout, there's been Fallout 3, 4, New Vegas. Like, there is a bunch of story there that they can tap into. It's just curious to see how they incorporate that into a single-person narrative. I think Fallout will win just because that's the more interesting world. I don't know. I like the old jazz. I like the dystopian future, you know, more so than I like the tried and true medieval trope of Elder Scrolls. You get a sword and you got to go fight a dragon or whatever, you know, the typical RPG stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Elder Scrolls is basically Dungeons and Dragons, and it's done well, yep. And people love it, and I'm not disparaging anything, but I'm just saying it's basically Dungeons and Dragons, and we've already had Lord of the Rings and stuff and all those things. That's kind of like what you're in, but Fallout is something different, it's something new, and I would say, in playing through the two different games, Fallout does better character development with other characters.
Yes.
It's more rich in that way. Elder Scrolls and those games is very much like a Dungeons and Dragons game. The other NPCs are kind of there to propel you forward.
I got you.
But Fallout, there seems to be like these sub-narratives with the characters. There's a little more depth in the way those games are done. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think if anything has a better chance of success, it's probably Fallout. I don't know. I still don't know how they're going to, like, who's going to be the protagonist. I don't know how they're going to do that. In either of them. So we'll see. Fingers crossed, because, I mean, awesome nerd stuff is awesome nerd stuff, and we like it when it works out. But, I mean, like you said, oh, it sounds so executive think to me. Oh, Witcher was a success. Let's find more video games. And there's no nerd in the room going like, hold on.
Yes.
Witcher was a success because it was a book and these things. They need to hire us, Mikey. Because, I mean, these things can happen. These things can become great things like The Witcher and stuff, but I really think that it's not because it's a video game. I think they're losing the narrative here. I think they need to be like, oh, it's because it was a book. And then what you need to do is you need to go to the D&D guys and go, hey,
yes,
let's do Dritz Dwarden Forgotten Realms series. Because that would be awesome.
Yep.
Because there's this character that we've read in a book and everyone loves him and we know what he looks like and what goes on with him. And he's got this cool panther and, you know, you can do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're running uphill because it's like, oh, when I played the character in blah, 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 I was so much better. I had this. I did that. I would never make that choice. It's just, ugh. I don't know.
I get you. My one speculation is that for the Fallout series, there is a whole bunch of lore. Like, if you play all the games, there's letters from different vaults, because that's the whole thing. Like, everybody hides in vaults, and then the nuclear apocalypse happens, and then everybody comes outside of their vaults. So maybe this story will focus on one specific group in a vault. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
That'd be the way to do it. That would definitely be the way to do it, as kind of an ensemble cast in these people who are in a vault.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah.
And hopefully they get that heavy armor because, oh man, that's so cool in those games. But we'll wait and see what happens.
I agree with you. That definitely has a better chance because none of the Skyrim games have a party, really.
Nope.
So
it's all just a single dude yelling at dragons and crafting arrows or taking an arrow to a knee. No, I'm just kidding. One more nerd alert on our video game news. This is not TV. This is actually video games, but recently put out, there's a teaser trailer for the new Mass Effect.
Boom, boom, what? Boom. There is?
Mass Effect is coming back.
What? I did not know this. What?
So I think you left off. You are the Mass Effect fan, which is why I have this in my notes.
I like Mass Effect a lot, yes.
So there was Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. There was Mass Effect Andromeda. And now this is the fifth in the series, unnamed, but the teaser trailer just says Mass Effect will continue.
Oh, wow. I haven't even seen this. How did I miss this?
From all current reports, it's going to incorporate the events that happened in Mass Effect Andromeda, but it is really going to pick up from Mass Effect 3 and continue that story. And you would probably know this better than I would, but apparently one of the figures that we see in the trailer is a character named Liara Tassoni, which is a character from Mass Effect 3, and apparently we're picking up on her story.
Oh, that's a cool way to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, man, Liara is one of the aliens who I think lives a long time, so, you know, you can, because Andromeda happens a lot later, but she was around, and I don't know. I didn't know about this. I'm all excited now. Because I really like
you.
It. I even liked Andromeda, even though, I mean, people, it kind of gets up there. It's funny because with all the stuff going on with Cyberpunk now.
Yes.
And that disaster. a lot of people are like, we haven't seen anything this bad since Mass Effect Andromeda. And it's like, no, actually, that wasn't that bad.
Womp womp.
Yep.
Because... I think they're comparing it because it was one of those, hey, you released this before you were finished type things. But also, too, Mass Effect Andromeda, I got it. Like, I always wait. Every game, I very, very rarely get games when they come out right away.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's something I like Mass Effect and I'm excited about, because I know there's going to be bugs in it, and it takes a while for the bugs to get worked out. So by the time I got to Mass Effect Andromeda, all the things that people complained about weren't there anymore.
It
didn't bother me at all. I had plenty of fun playing it. So, and I have a suspicion that Cyberpunk will probably eventually get fixed, but there's other things going on there than releasing a game that was half-baked. There's a lot of other things going on with that, and we can talk about that at some other time, because that's a whole can of worms and not treating your nerds right.
I got you.
But yeah, exciting. That's very exciting. I'll be interested to see what happens there, because I really like those games a lot. They're a lot of fun. They have the whole... I really like those role-playing games that have the technology in it. I don't know what to call it. Where you can affect relationships with people.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You can change how good or bad your character is.
I got you.
Goes way back to Knights of the Old Republic, whether you're going light side or dark side. I think the first game that ever did that was Fable, I think.
Oh, yeah. Evil
was
or
one
Dark,
of the first
yeah.
games.
Yep.
That ever did that. And man, I really, really like that, because it feels more like a real role playing game to me, like a tabletop role playing game.
Yep.
And also, it just, the level of programming, this is like behind the scenes stuff, but the level of programming involved in that and the level of nerdiness involved to put that together, it just, I think it's awesome. I just love how it's like, oh, I went down this dialogue tree mm-hmm. and now this person hates me.
It actually has an effect. That's the best part. Some of the internet buzz that I do remember, I didn't finish Mass Effect 3, but I know Mass Effect 3 blew up the internet a little bit because of the three story endings that you could get. Like, everybody was up in arms about that even before Andromeda and all that stuff. So, but the new Mass Effect is apparently picking up with that storyline a little bit. So hopefully everybody that was at least a little bit grumpy about Mass Effect 3 and your red, blue, and green storylines that you could choose from, we'll get some sort of resolution. So I'm curious to see. I loved all the games so far, like you. So there's a new one coming. That's awesome.
I think, man, and I don't understand that people getting up in arms with that stuff, because it's just like, you're just going to have to sit with the way you chose, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And so also, it's like, if you want more options, then join a D&D group. I mean, that's what tabletop is for,
those true.
Variety of options.
Yes. I cast Burning Hands on the wall.
Well,
wait, I can
happened.
Do anything?
Yeah, nope. Your whole party dies. No, just kidding.
Well, you can do anything, but the good DM will make you pay for it.
Exactly. He'll have all those consequences and choices already accounted for and tell the story accordingly. But
yes,
we are talking about video games over tabletop. Hashtag play tabletop, I guess. But we're moving on to our movie nerd alerts. This is for me. This is a personal one. There's going to be a Gremlins 3.
Okay. Don't feed them after midnight, Mikey.
Don't feed them after midnight. It's Gizmo. He's the Mogwai. But also, if you feed him after midnight, he turns into gremlins, or he spawns gremlins. Like, what a crazy story. But also, here's my first hot take. When is it after midnight? Isn't it always after midnight?
After midnight, you can let it all hang out. That's what I know. But
but it's always after midnight. That's my one complaint about Gremlins, is like, don't feed them after midnight. So that means don't feed them ever? I don't know.
No, I know. To me, it's funny because it makes you go Bill Burr riding along with Mando.
Yes.
Being like, so is it you can't take your helmet off or you can't show your face, because those are two different things.
They are two different things.
Because this means, like, so you can't feed them until dawn or you can't feed them after midnight, because those are two different things.
It is two different things, but the good thing about this new one is that Chris Columbus, who is responsible for the first two, is on board with the third one. According to him, this is where this news comes from, with interviews with him. There's a script out there, and now they're just waiting on a production company to approve it and let it go forward. But the thing I love that I want to point out is he said, if they do make a Gremlins 3, then it absolutely has to be puppets and practical instead of CGI.
Well, good. Then it'll look right. That's good. I like to hear that.
Yeah. But Chris Columbus, you know him from, he did Home Alone 1 and 2. He did the first two Harry Potters. So this is like old Hollywood pedigree. Mm-hmm. But if we do get more Gremlins, I love the first two. I'm just happy to hear that there's a third one in store.
And Gremlins technically a Christmas movie, right?
It does take place on Christmas. But again, it's the whole like before midnight, after midnight, before Christmas, after Christmas. Do we really know?
It has that horrible thing about her dad, Santa. Oh, so dark. It's so funny to me because I really liked that movie when I was a kid. I don't know why I was allowed to see that movie. My parents were strict about a lot of things, but I remember having like Gremlin sticker packs and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was super into Gremlins. And 1984, I was like 10 years old. What are they doing?
And I think the first PG. I think the first one was PG, and the second one was PG-13, so they get progressively darker as you go along in the series.
I think the first one was 80s PG, so I think it was probably actually supposed to be PG-13.
But, oh, yeah, pre-Red Dawn days, like we were talking
about.
Yeah,
I think so. But, man, I don't know. I really, really liked Gremlins a lot when I was a kid. I don't know why I was allowed to see that movie, because I don't like scary movies. I guess because of puppets in it. So my parents probably had that thing where, you know, a lot of kids get away with watching animated things they shouldn't be watching because, hey, man, it's a cartoon, mom and dad, see?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, parents, just because it's a video game or cartoon doesn't mean it's appropriate for children.
But it's just weird creatures that are eating things and, yeah, blowing up stuff.
The gremlin in the microwave thing. I mean, come on.
Oh, you just brought that back to my mind right now, but absolutely.
I'll see it. Sure, why not?
Yeah, we'll keep tabs on it. We'll let you know what happens. Right now, it's currently in development. Like I said, they have a script. They're shopping it around, so I'm guessing later this year, but we'll see what happens. Just putting it out there so you know about it now. Gremlins 3 is coming. Following up on that, they're doing another Dungeons & Dragons movie. We were talking about tabletop RPG. They're trying again. You made a noise. Oh. Tell me what you think.
Again, this has the same problem that we talked about ad nauseum with the video games. Mm-hmm. Is that if you're going to do it, you're going to have to do a Forgotten Realms movie or a Dragonlance movie. There's so many good Dungeons & Dragons books that have beloved characters in it and, mm-hmm. and backstory and all this kind of stuff. Either do that or do something like that. But they always do this thing where they try and make it like a game where it's like, hey, here's this protagonist who you don't have any feelings for. Yep. And I don't know. Maybe. They keep trying and they keep failing. And it's just, they're just not doing it right. So who's involved in this?
Let's see. So there are some more details. Maybe this will convince you one way or the other. But the main protagonist this time is going to be Chris Pine, a.k.a. Okay. Captain Kirk from the new Star Trek series, which I raised my hand as I'm a fan of, so I like him as Captain Kirk, but it is a Chris Pine-helmed project, and it's done by the same people that did the movie Game Night. Did you ever see Game Night with Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams?
I didn't see that movie, no.
Okay, so here's why it works in their favor. Game Night is a silly movie about, like, you and me, like, it's about a group of friends that get together on game night to do like a board game, but it turns into a murder mystery. And then the whole movie just blows up. Like they end up undercovering a crime syndicate and going on an adventure to like solve a real life crime as opposed to just having like a Yahtzee game night kind of stuff. So We have really smart writers, really clever writers behind it, but it's a D&D movie. How can you take a game that's like about improvisation and storytelling and just tell one story? It's so weird.
Yeah, I know. They've tried so many times and the only thing that's halfway successful is that Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
Yes.
I got it on DVD because I loved it when I was younger and doesn't really hold up, but
But that's where Tiamat comes from in the five-color dragon, right?
Yeah, I mean, Tiamat's in there, and you got the ranger with the magic bow. And I mean, there's a lot of cool things in there, and it is very Dungeons & Dragons. I mean, it's got the whole thing. They try to shove the Dungeon Master in there with that weird little human Yoda guy, and it's silly, it's goofy, but that's the closest thing that has the actual feel of Dungeons & Dragons to me.
Oh, I get you.
But I mean, it's just a goofy 80s falls in. It's just like the rest of them. It's just like the rest of them. He-Man and just like the rest of them. So
I get it.
But man, I don't know, man. Like, we just talked about this with the video game properties. It's the same thing. It's like, how many of these have they done? Do you know? I know they did that really, really bad one that had like, wasn't one of the Wayans brothers in it or something?
I don't know about the Wayans brothers, but there was a Dungeons and Dragons movie in 2001 with Jeremy Irons where he was essentially the bad guy. There was a big bad dragon. But other than that, the entire rest of the movie was forgettable. So they've done it before, but it hasn't succeeded yet.
Whatever, man. I don't hold a lot of hope out for it. They really just need, like I said, to find one of those old properties from Dungeons & Dragons and just go ahead and, hey, make this a movie.
I got you.
People don't know about it. I don't know if they're scared to, I mean, come on, man. They shouldn't be scared to, like, quote unquote, mess it up or anything, because the nerd base is so tiny, yep. I think,
mm-hmm.
that I think you could really open it up and just introduce these characters to the world that don't even know about it yet. And it would just be so, it's already there. It's already really structured. The stories are there to pull from, to make an adaptation of, and seems like a no brainer to me, but I don't know. Probably what happens is they give it to people and they want to do their own thing. So
I got you.
Whatever.
Some of the solace I do have is that we are now living in a time where we have the Witcher series. We have Game of Thrones, not accounting season 8. We won't go there, but like, we have Stranger Things. We have properties that are paying proper homage to, like, old-school Dungeons & Dragons nerdery. So maybe that will rub off on them and we'll get a cool Dungeons & Dragons movie. But I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, I mean, just make an awesome fantasy movie is all you really need to do.
But I guess you got to classify it as Dungeons & Dragons to capitalize on the marketing. Be like, you know this name. It's all the things you love. It's swords and rogues and bards and barbarians, and they're murder hobos, and they go to a tavern and they go on a quest to kill everybody. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's really the way they do it too. An ensemble thing like that is really how it should be done.
Yep.
So just like we said, Fallout should be done that way. So we'll see what they do. If they even listen to us, you should listen to us.
Chris Pine is in charge of it. He is the head of it, and I like him, so I'm intrigued just because of that. That's why it's in my notes. I am a Chris Pine fan, so we'll keep an eye out for that.
Chris Pine also gave away some, didn't give away, but I guess when he was working on Wonder Woman,
okay,
the latest one, 1984, he's in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess Patty Jenkins is doing the Star Wars Rogue Squadron stuff.
She's doing the Rogue Squadron movie, yes.
Yeah, and I guess she was telling him all about it. And he was kind of like, hey, she told me these things.
Oh, so no.
It's nothing super spoily, because I guess he's smarter than that. But
he didn't pull a Tom Holland and like spoiler everything? Okay.
No, he didn't pull a Tom Holland, but he basically said, she told me all about it, and it sounds really good, is what he said.
Awesome. I'm excited for that because she did such a great... I haven't seen 1984 Wonder Woman, but she did a great job with the first one. And there's a whole bunch of plane and dogfighting stuff in Wonder Woman, the first one. So I'm excited to see what she does for Rogue Squadron.
Me too.
And then the last thing, that's pretty much all of my Nerd Alert news, but I do have one recommendation. So I'm going to open this up. If you have a recommendation, I hope to hear it. But I want to end this with one thing that I have fallen in love with that is in the wheelhouse of all the things we're talking about, but I've been going back to the live-action version of The Tick on Amazon Prime from 2016, and this is a TV show based on a comic book, but it is phenomenal, so I'm recommending it right now. If you're a fan of the old 90s cartoon The Tick, absolutely watch this new series. It comes courtesy of that guy Brad, and I'm passing it on to you, so that's my recommendation to end out Nerd Alerts.
So it's not the Patrick Warburton version?
That version does exist. They did live action one time before, and it is not that, because the Patrick Warburton came out 2001-ish, And while it was fun, it was way sillier and way goofier and way just more like a live action cartoon. The 2016 version that I'm currently watching, that's my current binge, it seems to be taking cues from The Watchmen that they just recently redid and The Boys that they're putting out on Amazon Prime. It's taking that modern sort of MCU style and putting it into a great show. So The Tick is another one to add to your queue if you are a fan of Watchmen, The Boys, any of the new modern superhero stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah, I do have a recommendation. It came with our Game Pass. If you have, I don't know if it's on other things, but it's on Xbox Game Pass.
Yes.
There's Streets of Rage is on Game Pass.
Oh, nice.
And this is like 4 or 5. I forget. Anyway, it's Streets of Rage a number. And it's fun because you can couch co-op it with up to 4 people. So me and my boys get on there, and it's just one of those classic, the characters sitting there like ready to fight, you know, doing the fight bounce. And it's the classic Konami type side scroller beat 'em up game with all your button mashing. And my kids, you know, they're modern kids. They're 14-year-old kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kind of thing is only, it's like a novelty. Maybe they saw it in some kind of arcade or something that we went by or whatever.
I got you.
It's like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game and stuff like that. So they're like, this is fun. And I was like, yeah. And it was funny too, because you get this old school gamer cred sometimes with mm-hmm. your kids as a parent, because I played so many of these games that like I was doing better than them at first until they really started figuring it out, you know?
But you were showing them the way, because that is interesting, because the old side-scroller beat-em-up, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, your Final Fights, your Streets of Rage, that is a thing that was before their time. Like, now games are all seem to be in first-person view or, like, third-person view. That seems to be, the side-scroller seems to be of a different era, but I'm glad they're picking up on it.
I mean, it's classic. It's so much fun. Just the boss fights at the end and everything, and making sure you save up your specials for that boss fight. And it just, I don't know, just brings back so many memories. And it's just so, you just feel like you need to have a roll of quarters ready.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm glad you're showing them up. I'm glad the muscle memory is still there and you're the old school gamer. It's like, this is how you need to do it. That's great.
Well, how you need to do is just basically like mash, mash, mash,
mash, mash, mash, mash, push buttons. Oh, that's great. So those are our recommendations. Go watch The Tick. Go play Streets of Rage on the Xbox Game Pass. The Game Pass in general, like Kevin was saying, a phenomenal deal. You just get to pay a small monthly fee and you get access to a whole bunch of games. I think PlayStation has its own version of it, but well worth your time. But that's our Nerd Alerts. Hooray!
Hooray! So with the Nerd Alerts over, that means our pizzas are here.
Hopefully. I think mine's a little late, but it should be showing up.
Okay, cool. Hot, fresh, and ready. And when the pizzas are here, that means we're going to go and say, see you later, everybody.
Yeah.
So we want to thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you had a great new year. We're looking forward to a good new year. Hopefully all the insanity in the world gets leveled off a little bit
mm-hmm.
and stuff gets back opened up and we can go on conventions and finally see people. I'm looking forward to it. Only up from here, kids. It's only up from here.
Looking forward to it as well. It's going to be great.
I don't know why I'm that guy today, but I'm that guy today. I'm this kind of like New York cab driver guy.
No, you're the New York Nerd Alerts radio host. It's like, here's the new deal. Beedle, deedle, deedle. We got Nerd Alerts. We got things to tell you. We're looking forward to the new year. Happy New Year.
So anyway, thanks everyone for listening. We want you to find us on the socials. Please like and share. You can hit us up at Assuming Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We're most active on Instagram. You can also, if you want to send us a letter, we like to read what you want to say. So you can send us a Gmail at assumingpositions@gmail.com. And we want to thank That Guy Brad for our announcing, Not Scott Productions for our equipment, Jazzer for our music, and we hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Happy New Year, everyone. Horns, fireworks, champagne.
Happy 2021!
And the ooh, what am I thinking? What's the one with the thing with the Richard Dean Anderson in it?
Buffy, Charmed, nope. Richard Dean Anderson.
The one where they go through the portals, that sci-fi one.
Quantum Leap, Sliders.
No, well, that
Stargate.
Too. Stargate, there we go.